Reprint page 5217, April the 15th, 1913. God's sympathy for his people. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Jehovah is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the hills, before the firstborn was created, he is God. To Moses at the burning bush he said, I am that I am. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Our God is very great, very wise, very high. Nevertheless, the scriptures show us that he is also very sympathetic. He is a God of mercy and of love. The passage from which our text is taken informs us that if God were to contend with humanity, the end of the strife would be that mankind would be blotted out of existence. But he remembers that we are dust and has compassion upon us. In this respect, he is different from the gods of the heathen, who are domineering, apparently bent on wreaking vengeance upon those in their power. Besides being very great and lofty, our God is particularly sympathetic towards those who are of a broken and contrite heart, whose spirit is humble, who realize that they are imperfect, who desire to be in accord with him and to dwell in holiness. To such he is ever near to revive the spirit of the humble, to give them strength. He will not trample them into the dust, as many an earthly potentate has done to his subjects, but will assist them in the right way and revive the heart of the contrite. These are to know that our God is a God of sympathy, compassion, and love, who takes pleasure in reviving their hearts and in bringing them back into harmony with him, if they are willing to be led. Discouragement with self, a favorable condition. There is a difference between a broken and a contrite heart. A heart is broken when it is bowed down with grief and sorrow. A heart is contrite when it has a quiet, deep, continual sorrow for acts not in harmony with righteousness. A broken will is not necessarily the same, for there are those whose wills are broken, but who are not submissive to the divine will. To be repentant is to be thoroughly submissive to the divine will, and implies a change of mental attitude toward sin. This humble, discouraged condition becomes a very favorable one if the person will seek divine assistance, if he will become submissive to the Lord and ready to do the divine will. Such will surely receive the blessing of God. For the Lord is very nigh to everyone who is brokenhearted. The way to full consecration would be very short to him. If such as be of contrite heart will be submissive to the Lord, he will save them from their difficulties and bring them into a large place, as the prophet David states, Psalm chapter 18, verse 19. This does not necessarily mean that he will deliver them from financial troubles, but that he will give them peace and rest, which are better than money. If they have family troubles, they will find in him a superior friend, who is able and willing to administer superior consolation and refreshment. Come ye disconsolate, where'er ye languish. Come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts, here tell your anguish. Earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Joy of the desolate, light of the straying, hope of the penitent, fadeless and pure. Here speaks the Comforter, tenderly saying, Earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. The Lord's method of deliverance. The Scriptures assure us that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is relative righteousness, however, which God can approve. Those who are seeking to be in harmony with him to the best of their ability, who are walking in the ways of righteousness, and at the same time are trusting in the precious blood of our Redeemer, such are spoken of as righteous. Of these it is said, Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. This class, however, shall have afflictions. The Scriptures tell us that all who will live godly lives shall suffer. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. The reason why this is true is that the world is traveling in the opposite direction to righteousness, in the way of selfishness and gratification of the flesh. We read, If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. This is especially true of this gospel age, when some are following in the footsteps of the Master. It was also true of the Jewish age, when some were seeking to walk in the way of righteousness. The Lord delivered them out of their afflictions, not in the sense of shielding them from trials, but in that of not permitting them to be overcome by their difficulties. The ancient worthies fully appreciated the divine favor exercised in their behalf and took joyfully the spoiling of their goods in order that they might have the continuance of that favor and larger blessings by and by. God delivered them out of their trials and difficulties by not permitting these to overcome them. This was also true of our Lord, and is true of the church as well. The Lord delivers us out of our trials and difficulties so that mentally we are not oppressed by them in the same way as our others. He will sustain and support us in our experiences and will eventually deliver us by giving us a share in the first resurrection. The sons of God by adoption are, during this gospel age, especially beset by trials and difficulties. If they should fall, however, the fact that they have stumbled will not make them feel like going back into sin if their hearts are of the right stamp. On the contrary, they will feel like St. Peter, who, when others were stumbling, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 68. The true people of God have no desire to go to anyone but Him. If they stumble, they recover themselves, avail themselves of His arrangements for forgiveness, and press on. By these stumblings, they learn of their own weaknesses, and then fortify themselves so that they may be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. A just man will not fall into sin. The very most that could happen to him would be to stumble. There are various causes for stumbling. But if the heart is right, the man will rise again, for the Lord will show him that he has made a mistake and will point out the way to him by which he may recover himself. If he is a lover of righteousness, he will desire to press on toward that which is right, just, approved of the Lord, even if he should stumble many times. Psalm chapter 37, verses 23 and 24, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. The evidence of favor with God. So far as our humanity is concerned, we are undone by reason of the fall. It behooves us then to be very humble, to feel our own littleness, our own fallen condition. It becomes us to be very contrite, very much in opposition to sin, to feel that sin is the great blight upon the whole race, and that God will not be in harmony with anything except that which is righteous and holy. All, therefore, who would be in harmony with God must be repentant in respect to their own shortcomings and must be appreciative of His lofty standards, His holy standards. He, in turn, informs these that they have His sympathy and that they shall have His succor. He appreciates the attitude of mind in which they are. And therefore, as our text tells us, He is ready to revive the spirit of the humble and contrite ones. To such He will show His salvation, to others He will not. Only the humble-minded can really appreciate their own condition. God not only will revive their spirit, but is willing to lift them up and to make them again sons of God with all that this implies of blessing. He has this attitude toward the humble and contrite in the present time, and he has always had this spirit toward the humble and contrite ones. Throughout Christ's reign, this humble class will have his favor and blessing. Only the humble and contrite ones have the opportunity of becoming joint heirs with our Lord. God resists the proud. To the humble he gives grace and opens the eyes of their understanding. They become his children because they are in the attitude to receive his blessings and to be guided by his instruction. The text applies not only in the present time, but will have an application in the next age. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 10. These words are all intended to indicate the preparations for the incoming age. There is no provision for the proud, none for the haughty, none for the self-conscious, but all for the humble-minded. If God has these blessings in store for the humble only, and if the humble are few in number at the present time, what of the others of humanity? God is allowing now a humiliating influence to work with people, which should teach them humility and lead them to be contrite of heart. But much more will this be the case in the next age. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. All the blessings will be upon the contrite and humble, and this will be so markedly before the attention of the people that all will know a change has taken place. Now the humble and contrite are trodden down in the street. Now the proud are happy. Now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, even they that tempt God are delivered. Malachi chapter 3, verse 15. But in the new kingdom, every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and the humble shall be exalted. Luke chapter 14, verse 11. God has provided 1,000 years for the education of all. 1,000 years may seem a short period for this work when we know that for 6,000 years things have been going wrong. But we must recollect that during the 6,000 years, many of the people have lived but a short time, many dying in infancy. In the new order of things, this will be changed, and each will live longer. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20. Judgment, justice, also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 17. And then it will not be necessary for one to say to another, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. The high standard that God has for his people will be recognized. Then all who have humility and the right condition of heart will come into harmony with God. All who refuse to come into harmony with God will get the wages of sin, the second death. I know not the way that's before me, the joys or the griefs it may bring, what clouds are o'erhanging the future, what flowers by the wayside may spring. But there's one who will journey beside me, nor in weal nor in woe will forsake. And this is my solace and comfort. He knoweth the way that I take. This has been reprint page 5217. God's Sympathy for His People.